The celebrity phone once again lighting up. I always love this part of the show. Always a surprise who it is. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, this is Neve. I make a show called Catfish on MTV.
Oh, no. Oh, somebody's trying to pretend to be me online, right, Neve?
Sorry, Johnny. I don't think anybody really would want to pretend to be you.
So you just want to promote your show? Is that really what we're doing now? Jeez, all right.
I thought I was calling Katy Perry.
Good point. If you didn't see the show, we'll talk about that in a second. But no, that was a good zinger. Thanks for calling in, Neve. It's great to chat with you.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy. Nice to be here.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, we've been wanting the star of Catfish. I always figured we'd get Max, but it's great to have you nonetheless. So the new season, it's back on MTV. You mentioned Katy Perry. We've got to talk about this because the guy... I'll try to sum this up. A lesbian tricking a guy into thinking he was messaging Katy Perry... And then you flew across the world, basically, to meet... And then the guy still didn't believe it, even after you proved that it wasn't Katy Perry. Did I sum that up okay?
Yeah, I think that was pretty accurate. It's hard to even believe, in summary, that an adult, a 36-year-old man, would believe for 6 years that he was having a secret online relationship with the world's biggest pop star. But that's the story.
So, I mean, there's a part of you that you feel sorry for the guy, of course, because he's just so attached and in love. And then, you know, we could tell from the reactions that you and Max had that it's like, come on, big guy, think about this. And then you almost kind of laugh at him too, don't you? Like, it's sad, though.
Well, I mean, what was particularly curious about this episode was Spencer, the guy we're talking about, you know, he understood how ridiculous sounding his situation was. He was self-aware and even a little, you know, concerned that telling people he was in a relationship with Katy Perry would sound ridiculous. I mean, we didn't have to explain to him how absurd it was. He understood that. And yet somehow he had completely been convinced and convinced himself that this was actually happening. And so, yeah, you know, he had a sense of humor about it. He appreciated the absurdity of it, but he still was completely convinced, at least as far as we could tell, that he was, in fact, talking to Katy Perry.
Oh, God. So on a related note, I have been messaging Justin Bieber on Grindr, so I'm just wondering... Probably not him, though, right?
Oh, well, I've heard actually from a lot of guys that Justin Bieber is on Grindr, so... No, could be.
Oh, jeez. But so let's talk about some advice, though. You know, we see the sleuthing tips every week. You guys, you know, you do image searches, you look up phone numbers. So what are some red flags? Actually, let me see if I've kind of got a handle on it. So a person's profile page, if they're not, like, tagged with other people, if they just only have selfies and no other kind of, like, real-life pictures, those would be red flags, too, uh-huh. Right? What else is there?
Yes, for sure. What else? Okay, well, I mean, you know, the obvious ones in terms of communicating with them, if they can't video chat, if they can't send you a picture with some specific thing in it, or their driver's license, that's obviously a red flag. But, I mean, the biggest red flag really is if you're talking to someone, they live far away, and you're interested in making an effort to meet up with them, but they seem to always have an excuse not to. I mean, it's really the excuses, and they usually start off small. I'm sick, maybe I had a little car accident, or I have a family emergency, and then they get bigger. People get sick, sometimes people die, car accidents get worse, injuries get worse, and so if there's an escalation of excuses, then I think you're probably talking to someone who's avoiding meeting you because they're not who you think they are.
It's interesting because the messaging goes from, can't wait to meet you, can't live without you, so then
right.
The other person finally has that opportunity, like, okay, well, I'm going to come visit you, and now all of a sudden there's all these roadblocks and these hurdles. You know, that should be a red flag. What about...
All right, and also, alternatively, a lot of people I find will get to a point where they've had enough, where they figure, okay, this person's probably lying to me, I'm going to walk away, at which point they say, you know, hey, if you can't meet up with me, this is over, or I got to stop pursuing this. And if the person then gets very aggressive or defensive or turns the situation around to make you feel bad, like you're abandoning them or you're doing something wrong, that's another indication that they're messing with you.
Jeremy Bradley here, back talking with Neve from MTV's Catfish, another surprise guest. I do love that. Chatting about the new season. I know you guys have also seen people, I guess, almost sort of making a business out of catfishing, and by that I mean getting money or things from people, right? They're, you know, you're sending money, you're buying them things and sending it. That happens quite a bit too, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There's definitely a separation between the people who are online to scam and to cheat and to get money and things versus the sort of unintentional or accidental catfish who are really just lonely and looking for some sort of companionship, and it ends up becoming, you know, a relationship. We don't generally deal with the scammers as much because they're often criminals, legit criminals, and they're not very easy to track down, and they certainly have no intention of appearing on television. So most of our show deals with the sort of lonely hearts and less the you know, con artists.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing would be
there,
like,
sure, there's definitely a business out there and a lot of money to be made preying on people's, you know, vulnerability and loneliness.
Do you find, what is the age range of people that reach out to the show? Is it mostly kind of young people, teens, 20s, maybe early 30s? Do you get anybody who's, you know, 40, 50, 60 maybe?
We do. We get for sure older people. This season, we're definitely looking to help people a little bit older than the target demographic for MTV. You know, this last guy was 36. Next week's episode is really interesting. It's sort of features a woman who's married, a little older, and you know, I think it gets more interesting the older you get, because people's lives have really developed. There are stakes. There's, you know, family involved. There's kids involved. There's jobs involved. And so the tension and the mystery and the truth comes at a much higher cost.
So let's swing it, because there was a guy, and I'm sure you've heard this story by now, ultimate catfish victim, waiting 10 days at an airport for his online girlfriend, even hospitalized. He sat there waiting so long he was hospitalized. You heard that story, right?
I did, yes.
Okay, so I got it. How long would you have waited? I have to know that first.
Well, this guy, you know, I don't know the details that much, but it sounds like for sure he was getting catfished, although now I feel like I heard that perhaps the woman was who she said she was, but he was sort of aggressive in terms of deciding he was just going to show up without her agreeing that he would show up. So I'm not sure who was or wasn't at fault, but this guy definitely went out on a limb, flew across the world, and I guess got there and emailed her and said, "Hey, I'm here." I don't know why she didn't meet up with him, but I definitely would not have waited that long. I mean, I think, you know, maybe I would have stayed one night over just in case she couldn't meet up with me that day, but perhaps, you know, the next day she was available. But I don't think I would have waited much longer than, I don't know, 12 to 24 hours.
Oh, I know exactly what you would have done. You would have got on your computer, you would have tried to research where she lives, you would have tried to track her down. I think that's what Neve would have done, I'm fairly certain. No?
Well, I sure as hell would have left the airport and seen the site. I mean, I'm not gonna fly to Tokyo or wherever it was and just sit in the airport for 10 days. I'm gonna go look around, at least make a trip out of it.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Meet somebody new. There you are. You've already got the flowers. You're sitting at the airport. You know, find somebody else. Jeez. We've got to wrap this up, but I made an observation the other week during the season premiere. When you guys have you're sitting at the desk and the camera is pointing up at you two, Max kind of looks like Jay Leno. Has anybody ever said that?
Yeah, he does a little bit. I'm not sure if anyone's ever pointed that out or not, but he's got a little bit of the Jay Leno.
Kind of just, I mean, I'm not making fun. It's not an insult. I'm just saying, like, for a brief glimpse, I was kind of like, whoa. Sort of like, you know, the hair and then the facial structure. Anyway, just my observation. So we'll be watching. It's Wednesday nights then on MTV, right?
That's right. Wednesdays at 10.
All right. Well, thanks so much for chatting. Well, thanks for surprising me, Neve. I do appreciate you calling in.
My pleasure.
And send our regards to Max, of course.
I will.
All right, thanks so much.